This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Caroline Ezra on the evening edition at 6:37 p.m. Taking a look at more election coverage. Of course, over the weekend, the Barisan National Coalition unveiled its manifesto, and in it, it pledged 24 commitments to Sabah and Sarawak in its GE14 manifesto. And specifically, chief among them was full recognition of the rights under the Malaysia Agreement 1963.
Yep, that's right. It also takes a look at electricity. Sabahan Sarawakians will have a literal brighter future. 2.3 billion pledged to ensure reliable electricity supply. Also telecommunications upgrade, 2 billion ringgit in that direction. An additional 4.3 billion for the Trans Sabah gas pipeline. Potable water as well. They're going to continue the existing subsidy on the supply of potable water for the interior areas. Also giving the marginal community a bit of a nod, right?
Yep, a lot of the respective communities, the Iban and the Kadazan Dusun communities, taking a look at the Dayak community as well. And it's a long, laundry list of promises towards East Malaysians. But I think the specific thing about this, especially, is about the Malaysia Agreement 1963. And a lot of folks very, very strongly feel that it's not so much the return to what was listed, it's actually the fulfillment of it. And that's something that's been lacking with regards to this particular issue.
Yeah, well, just a quick look back at GE13, and I guess the BN manifesto pledges to Sabah. Back then, there was a pledge to continue to find solutions for the illegal immigrant problems. Mm-hmm. That was huge at the time. Also, oil royalties. But they also then promised to protect the spirit of that 20-point Malaysia Agreement of 1963 while promising equal opportunity for all in state service. And I think, you know, to a degree, it's almost glass half full, glass empty kind of thing.
We've heard this before as well.
That's right. Yeah. So you can say that the approach is relevant. Indeed, a lot of political analysts looking on are saying that, you know, this will go down very well with voters. But on the other hand, the approach, if you look at it, it pushes electricity, water, jobs, telecommunications, marginal communities, essentially the fundamentals. So what does this say about campaign promises of the past?
Absolutely. Yep. We're going to be speaking to Professor James Chin at the University of Tasmania shortly after this. But first, some music by Feist, My Moon, My Man, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:43 p.m. It's Caroline and Ezra on the evening edition. So the highlight of Barisan National's manifesto promise for East Malaysia is for full recognition of the rights of Sabah and Sarawak under the Malaysia Agreement 1963. To further delve into that, we're crossing over to Professor James Chin from the University of Tasmania. James, thank you so much for being with us on the program. And maybe let's start by putting things into some context. Can you explain to us why these rights were ignored by the federal government in the first place?
Right, well, first thing first, I think if you read carefully at the manifesto, it doesn't say that they recognize the full rights under the Malaysia Agreement. What they say was that they will proceed to recognize the full right by consensus. In other words, if one of the three partners, Putrajaya, Kuching or Kota Kinabalu, disagree, then they can't move forward. So the idea behind the Sabah and Sarawak MA63 rights is that these are rights enshrined before Malaysia came to being, so Putrajaya should not object to it. But the way the manifesto was written, it says by consensus. So this means that if Putrajaya objects to it, there will be no movement on this issue. So that's the first thing. Now, the second question is, why were these rights ignored by the federal government? The answer is quite simple. In the 1980s, when Mahathir was in power, he wanted to centralize a lot of powers into the government, into the federal government, and slowly he became to move into areas that were regarded as autonomous to Sabah and Sarawak, things like education. And because the governments in Sabah and Sarawak were also ruled by the Barisan National at that time, they did not really put up a fight. So a lot of the centralization was done during the tenure of Tun Mahathir. And the basic reason why nobody took up the issue was simply because the state governments in Sabah and Sarawak at that time, they were also ruled by the Barisan National.
Okay, so just last year, the Sarawak state government made a case for ME63, right? There was a team dispatched to London to study that agreement in detail. I think we covered that. How much does this promise by BN have to do with that? I mean, the whole idea that this promise was made to appease that move by the state government.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, basically the theme that went to London, the only issue at that time was really where does the continental shelf lie? Because they were looking at mineral resources off the coast of Sarawak. In any case, the way this thing works is that the promises made in the manifesto is very general. So as we head towards the campaign, I expect the prime ministers to announce some very specific promises or devolution of powers from Putrajaya back to Sabah and Sarawak. I think a lot of your listeners will know that the federal government actually set up a cabinet-level committee in Putrajaya to look at this issue. And similar committees were set up in Kuching and Kota Kinabalu to look at how to devolve the power from Putrajaya. My understanding is that all these three committees have completed the work. The final meeting was held last year, and they put up the final report to the Prime Minister. Now, I'm not sure whether the Prime Minister or the Cabinet have discussed the report in detail, but I'm quite certain that the Prime Minister will announce some concession during the election campaign in order to help the Barisan National Parties in Sabah and Sarawak.
Right. And on the topic of the oil and gas sector and the issues between the peninsula and Sabah and Sarawak in that respect, are you expecting any sort of complications to arise from this move?
There will not be any problems with the oil sector. So even if they give the powers of the oil and gas mineral resources back to Sabah and Sarawak, all the outstanding contracts and leases put up by Petronas will still be valid. What we're talking about is moving forward. In other words, future contracts that will be more closely scrutinized and approved by Kuching and Kota Kinabalu. So I don't expect any changes or any hiccups in the current arrangements.
So what do you think of the overall promises made to both states in this manifesto? So the improved infrastructure, telecommunications, even institutes for native studies. Do you think it'll sway both Sabahans and Sarawakians towards the BN camp?
Well, Sabah and Sarawak has always been strong strongholds for Barisan National, especially in the rural interiors of Sabah and Sarawak. I don't expect that to change, especially among the Muslim voters in Sabah and Sarawak. But what I do expect is that the opposition may do slightly better, especially in Sabah at the state level. But I don't see an overall change in terms of the parliamentary vote. I think the Barisan National will still do very well in those two states, regardless of this ME63 controversy.
James, tell us, in your opinion, elaborating on that point a little bit more, how dependent is Barisan National on the Sabah and Sarawak vote in GE14?
If you look at the election results for 2008 and 2013, it is quite clear that without the Barisan National MPs from Sabah and Sarawak, UMNO would have fallen for power. So that's the reason why you see after 2008, there was a dramatic change in the makeup of the federal government. More than 2,000 Sabah Sarawak ministers were appointed in the federal cabinet as ministers or deputy ministers. And the key posts in the Dewan Rakyat, the speaker's post and the deputies were all given to Sabah and Sarawak. So you can see that UMNO dependent on Sabah and Sarawak to stay in power after 2008 and 2013. Now going forward, the real question for Sabah and Sarawak is what happens when Barisan National do very well this time around? In other words, what if Najib and the Barisan National win back the two-thirds majority, just as a scenario? This means that they no longer require the MPs from Sabah and Sarawak to stay in power. And if that is the case, it may be that Najib may think twice about devolution of powers, or he may slow down the process.
Well, James, once again, thank you very much for those insights. That was Professor James Chin from the University of Tasmania in Australia with his thoughts on the promise Barisan Nasional has made in its manifesto, specifically to recognise the rights of Sabah and Sarawak under the Malaysia Agreement 1963. We've got some music right now by Alabama Shakes, I Found You.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.